Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. If this is your first time tuning into our podcast or our broadcast, I just want to welcome you and hope that our words touch your heart. If you're returning to our program, then welcome back. Assuming that you are returning because you've enjoyed the previous programs, we encourage you to share this link with friends and family so we can reach a larger audience. What we have to offer, we give freely. And in this case, what we have is the message of the gospel from the Catholic Church. With that being said, let us go on with our episode. Well, it is the first week of Advent, and of course, on this day, it's a very unique day, a very powerful day, and on this day, we recognize that we are beginning a whole new focus into where the Lord is leading us, into our liturgical year. And so this is our time, if we imagine we're standing on a precipice, in a sense, looking over this unknown edge of where it may be leading us. And I know there's something called a trust fall, which is where you close your eyes and you allow yourself to fall into the hands of other people, and that's a representative of us falling into the hands of the Lord. But in doing so, we have to trust God to catch us. Now, I've kind of had that experience before when I went skydiving in Otay Mesa, California. And it was something I did a long time ago. And talk about worry. I wasn't worried. My mother was terrified. I guess my father was. You know how fathers don't tend to be very open of how they feel, especially when there's something fearful. Well, my father, I'm sure, was there. And because, remember, I know he was there. But my mother was the one who spoke for both of them. And she was a little nervous about it. So what I did, now remember, I'm in California, they're living in Weymouth, Massachusetts. So what I did is I really didn't necessarily tell them when I was going to do the skydiving thing and then call them after I did it. It was a great experience. I actually did it. Ironically enough, it didn't actually work out that we planned it this way with a neighbor of mine. We grew up four houses from each other. And we went skydiving. Now, if you've never been skydiving, and by the way, there's several places in Massachusetts you can do it, and if you really want to have an interesting experience, and this is not a paid endorsement, it just happens to be the fact, you can drive out on Route 2 to Orange, Massachusetts, and you can see Jumptown, and you can watch them, I don't know if you can do it in the winter, but you can watch them as they jump and do parachuting from about 10,000 feet up. I only jumped from 3,000. So anyway, what the way it worked with me is I was standing on a wooden dowel outside the plane. The plane is now 3,000 feet outside the plane. I'm holding onto the wing. This is what is known as a static line jump. So the line itself pulls the parachute, even though you spend most of the day training what to do if that line doesn't work. But anyway, so I'm standing there on the in holding on to the plane, the wing of the plane, literally outside the plane. And the instructor says, jump. And you don't really jump because you really can't in that context. The plane is going forward. You're outside of the plane. How do you jump? What you actually do is you just essentially let go. And that's what I did. And I really testify to the fact that every cell in my body literally screamed out, well, not literally, but you could just feel screamed out, what did you just do? And anyway, a few seconds later, the parachute opens up, and here I am floating from 3,000 feet in the air, landing, you know, getting instructions by radio how to move my parachute in such a way that I'm going to land in the right place. And finally, of course, I did. And strangely enough, we practiced all day what it would be like to fall. So we jumped off the back of a pickup truck that wasn't moving. And it was literally a harder fall from the pickup truck than it was landing with the parachute. So it was a great experience. And it also gives me the opportunity to kind of think of that in light of as this year begins. Because we're looking over that precipice. We're looking over and we don't know what's coming. And we've certainly spent 2 years. We had no clue what was coming. And we're looking over that precipice. And we have to just let go and allow the Lord to lead us and catch us. Or we can do what we can often do, which is just kind of kind of stand stiff and say, no, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to do things my way. I want to do things the way the Lord wants. And you just like if you were like on the plane, I refuse to let go. Well, you're never going to skydive. So that whole thing, this is where we are. We're looking towards this year. We don't know where it's going. And it's that time to say, Lord, help us to just let go and allow you to lead us. In the Catholic Church, December 8th is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. This is the patronal feast of the United States. As you know, the purpose of this program is to help listeners grow in holiness and closer to Christ. Please, therefore, consider a rosary novena in preparation for our patronal feast. The intention of these 9 days is that we may grow holier and we may grow a holier family, parish, and church. We want to become signs of Christ's love in all we do. Therefore, starting on November 30th, please begin a rosary novena. Also consider some self-denial as well during these days, such as do not use social media, or even fast from desserts, or some other decision. If possible, pray your rosary in the church in front of the tabernacle or in front of a live-streamed Eucharistic adoration online at home. Let us pray that we may grow in holiness as we prepare for the patronal feast of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out our website. You can check out the archives of the show. You can check out our Substack newsletter. You know, I had more people reading the newsletter. Not a lot, I'll admit. We're trying to build that up, and people are reading it, so that's good. Our Substack newsletter. And you know what? I was thinking I have to really put more content in that, mostly from some other venues that I use, so I'm going to start doing that. Anyway, say it again, Substack newsletter, our blog, and you can check all that out at CatholicAudioMedia.com. And don't forget to send a comment. Hey, I was listening to the show. I like or didn't like, whatever. We want to hear it because it also enables us to share with others that you are listening. Not necessarily. You can do it anonymously, that people are listening, and it means a lot to them. And if you'd like to donate to support the show, remember, we are at CatholicAudioMedia.com/donate. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com/donate. So we're talking about this reality that we have. Now, I read something fascinating as I was doing the research for my homily. In case you didn't know this, I learned this from the evangelicals. Now, understand that evangelicals preach for a longer time than Catholics. A good Catholic homily usually runs 7 to 10 minutes. A short evangelical homily can often go 20 minutes. A short one can often go 20 minutes. And a regular length is usually about 30. So we see that in our preaching, we have obviously different styles. But in evangelical pastors put in many, many hours of research. So I thought it was important for me as a Catholic many years ago to do the same thing. So I do a lot of research. I use Verbum, which is a great recommendation. I do a lot of research, and this really helps me to put together my homily. So I was reading something that came up from the Summa Theologica, which comes from St. Thomas Aquinas. And he asked this question. I didn't know that this question was literally asked by him. He asked and he answers. And it was whether Christ should have committed his doctrine to writing. Well, there's an interesting thing. This we're going to get back to our theme because you're going to see it's all connected. Whether Christ should have committed his doctrine to writing. In other words, whether or not he should have written down what he says. Now, one of the important things that we understand, as St. Thomas Aquinas put out, is the last line in the Gospel of John. And the last line there says that Jesus did and said so many things that there isn't enough room in the entire world to hold down all that information of what he did and said. And St. Thomas Aquinas quoted Augustine, who, by the way, lived about 1,000 years, not quite, but close to 1,000 years before Thomas Aquinas. And he said there's a reason for that. He says, Augustine, what St. John meant by that is not that there wasn't enough room in the whole world to put all that information, but people's ability to comprehend his teaching wasn't big enough at the time. And so he said, if Christ had committed his doctrine to writing, people would have no deeper thought of his doctrine than that which appears on the surface of the writing. So it really means that as we grow as people of faith, we come to a deeper understanding of what Jesus teaches over the centuries. So our understanding may be different than what preceded us. And we can see that going on today. We can really see that. I'm not one who necessarily agrees with taking down statues, because there is that reality of these are people that were important to us, but they were also people who had great faults. Well, all people do. Saint Francis, by the way, said something in the lines of the effect of don't honor someone until after they have died, for exactly that reason. That was Saint Francis. So we understand that, but what is it really being reflected there? And what's being reflected is people's understanding of the world around them grows, and we bring up our understanding of what the teachings of Christ mean. They change by virtue of the fact that they deepen over the centuries. So therefore, as we look into this whole new year, we can ask the Lord, where to what profound depths are you taking us at this point? For what profound depths? And like me jumping off that airplane, or actually letting go, we can say, Lord, allow us to let go and to allow you to lead us to whatever adventure you're going to lead us to that's going to deepen our understanding of where you are calling us. So there, and we've been through 2 years of great adventure. There was that commercial, I forget what the commercial is for, but you know of the 2020 representing the devil. What a great idea. Because of that reality of these have been some real tough years, and they're years filled with fear, the years filled with trepidation, with confusion, with frustration. But if we bring them all to the Lord and say, Lord, through all of this, where are you leading us? Even despite the efforts of those who reject God, God is leading us. He's drawing us. And as we see from Aquinas and Augustine, he's bringing us to a deeper level of understanding of who we are as human beings. We'll talk more tomorrow. Don't forget to check CatholicAudioMedia.com. Let people know what you heard today, and have a blessed day.